Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome, welcome, welcome into the latest edition of Noon Dish. That's Don Callahan looking like freshly out of the shower for everybody that's joining us live here at noon on a Wednesday, April 24th. Say, we've got a lot to talk about today.
And, we do.
And quite frankly, the work you've put together and the work the whole IC team has put together over the past, over the last week or two specifically, quite a hell of a run for North Carolina athletics, recruiting, all sports and all, but quite a busy day for you on the football recruiting side. So what are we going to talk about today? I feel like the names and the laundry list of names are very long, so we better not spend too much time before we get into it.
Yeah, so it was a big weekend, I think is the most notable thing, at least in my mind. But as you said, since we met 2 weeks ago, Alex White was our guest 2 weeks ago. There have been a lot of things, a lot of commits, and that sort of thing. So I think that's probably foremost for us to kind of talk about. Meanwhile, my desk got cleaned up, and that's a problem. So now I don't know who I jotted down for MVP. I was going to try to find that live edition to kind of look through the chat to kind of, maybe jot my memory a little bit, but I can't find the freaking interview.
It is it's in there. It's under the live tab on Inside Carolina.
I'm looking.
Anyway, I agree with what Preston said. I think Alex.
We'll keep it simple. Just give it to Alex.
Yeah, Alex White needs to be the MVP of the chat. She certainly was the MVP guest of the chat, and I know a lot of people enjoyed that one. A lot of behind the scenes look at how North Carolina handles recruiting, and she's a big part of that, along with a lot of other folks. And in the future, in the coming weeks and months, we hope to have more people on the show that sort of highlights that for everybody and understand that it's not just guys showing up at Kenan Football Center and having a great time, the work that goes into it and all that. And Alex is a big part of that and her team. And then Don Callahan is blessed enough to be able to cover it and to get to know these people. So we like to share that.
Yeah. All right. So I got an answer now.
Okay. So
all right.
I've filibustered long enough.
I do not believe he's been chat MVP before. And again, we need to get some sort of historian, like a, unpaid historian of the Noon Dish who can keep track of these items for us. Maybe we can get you some gear. I don't know.
Maybe an Inside Carolina hat.
Inside Carolina hat for, whatever it is that you need that means that you're still not an employee, but you're kind of helping us out. We can, maybe I could buy you lunch or something like that. anyway,
we're taking right. We're taking applications on in the live chat. I know that there's probably 6 or 8 of you guys that are here every single week, every single Inside Carolina podcast. So submit right. your applications to Don.
So MVP for last week, probably Alex, but for the actual chat MVP, we're going to go with Stephen Blakely. Has he ever been Czech MVP before?
I do not think so.
Okay.
But so my memory is fuzzy.
Mine is too. So Stephen, if you're here, give us a hello and congratulations. And hopefully if you're not here now, you'll be here shortly and we can formally congratulate you. How's everything going with Tommy? I know you've had a rough week.
Yeah. Had to put the family dog down yesterday. So that's, you know, dying is part of living and it's tough to make those decisions, but we did that yesterday. So I think it's quiet. It's quiet in the house. And that's the biggest thing for me. Ever since I've become a house husband, you notice a lot. And when you're home alone and you have to have your morning coffee by yourself in the morning, it's kind of rough, but
yeah,
it's part of it. And
was this, I don't want to get too deep into it or deeper than what you want to get, but was this expected?
So, Black Lab mixed with either Mastiff or Cane Corso, however you pronounce that. So big dog, and they don't live terribly long. And he has some arthritis that had been giving him trouble over the last several years, so it really slowed down. And then Monday he had an event that had been weighing on our minds what to do with him, and we're trying to get the boys through the semester at Carolina, but it just didn't work out, and it was time, and he told us it was time. So did it yesterday. He's got him a nice spot out here in the backyard, and the coolest thing about it, Don, and I don't want to talk much more about it because I'll get emotional, but we got him from a rescue, and I would encourage everybody to rescue dogs, whether it's from the pound or from the rescue. Don't go buy designer dogs. You know, they have some value, but these dogs that nobody wants. We rescued him when he was 11 months old and knew right away he was the one for us, and his name was Ram. We didn't give it to him. It was already Ram, so that was pretty cool.
Oh,
so,
wow, ironic.
So meant to be. So, yeah. So that's why it's been a little rough. He was very unique. But anyway, it's part of it, man. And it sucks. And that's the thing. It's like, do you love and lose, or do you never love and never know the loss?
It's one of the great questions of life.
Yeah, 100%. So that's where we are.
Okay.
But I appreciate the kind words, and I appreciate everybody that's reached out in the last couple of days or last day or so, because it definitely sucks. Anyway, let's talk about good stuff. And the good stuff was...
Do we have a top five?
The top five. What do we want to do the top five? Let's let the people decide.
Yeah, really quickly, because we're already 10 minutes in. We need a top five idea. Preston's usually pretty good.
Yeah. So give us top five stuff in the chat. We'll figure out something at the end. But let's talk about this past weekend.
Okay.
Spring game in North Carolina. Not televised. So if you wanted to see it, you had to be there.
Yeah.
And if you haven't
Can
checked out.
Can I ask you about that? So I know Mac has kind of explained it a few times. He gave an answer on their decision on that and why to, I guess, televise the practice the week prior, but not to televise the game. I'm just curious. I mean, is it what he said it is, or what's kind of your thoughts on it? It just feels like it feels strange.
Yeah, I mean, obviously in a practice, and I don't speak for them at all. This is just my take. Obviously in a practice, you can control what folks are seeing. You know, you can control what you're showing. You can control all of that. And in a game, to an extent, you can do that, but you also, you know, there's some unknown going on there. And I think, quite frankly, and again, I'm not speaking for them, but I think the portal deal is a big thing. And I don't think it's as much as you don't want people to see your schemes and you've got new ways of doing things. That all that stuff, you know, football is really basic when it comes down to it. It's, you know, there's like a million different variations of a few things. But I think there's some validity in the thought, and it's not just Carolina, but everywhere, is like, you don't want to broadcast what talent you have any more than you have to publicly. I could be totally off base here, but if it's on TV, everybody can see it. Everybody can start throwing bags around. It's just a different world. So I think that's part of it. Maybe the scheme aspect is part of it. So some of both, a little strange, but I don't.
That makes more sense to me, what you just said about how basically you don't, you want to get everybody out there because it's an opportunity for them to play in front of fans and family. And anybody who's had kids who have played, I mean, you know, most of us haven't have kids who played at this highest of level, but any level, you know, you if you're going to go spend the money, all that sort of stuff, and especially a lot of people traveling far to see your kids, you want to see them play. But for North Carolina, they don't want to basically advertise their goods because there is no mechanisms to prevent tampering.
Yes.
And so I can see that being an issue. The scheme stuff, I feel like you can, you know, you're not, there's no real game plan. And I think there is enough tape out there on Coach Collins and Coach Chip Lindsey, you know, from prior stops and also from North Carolina with Lindsey, that you have a you have a feel for their philosophies. So I don't know if you're going to get much more out of a, you know, vanilla spring game. So I do think that you may have hit something there with the idea of not trying to advertise your goods, basically your backups, because those are the ones that are going to be a lot harder to hold on to.
Yeah, and I mean, is that part of it? Maybe, is it not? Are we way off base? Could be, but to this day and age, when you know, up until the portal closes, there's no really mechanism like you speak of to hold on to people. Because quite frankly, if somebody offered me and guaranteed it, not just offered, but guaranteed a lot of money to go play somewhere, I mean, would I? Probably not. But, you know, who might listen to that? So I think if you were local and you wanted to see the spring game, you couldn't have asked for a better day in Chapel Hill. I mean, absolutely beautiful. Jason Staples and I did a post-game wrap-up sitting on the photo deck at Kenyon Stadium with the bell tower in the back in the stadium there. So there's a lot of content to digest from that. And, of course, Adam, Jeremiah, Evan, Jim Hawkins photos, Bowman doing video, Michelle, Ben, everybody helping in the background to put stuff together. So there's you can see what you need to see, and I thought it was a successful day for North Carolina. And, Don, from your viewpoint, those type days as far as recruiting, because there was a lot of recruits there.
Yeah.
And a lot of opportunity for young men to come in and their families to sort of see what it's like on a quote-unquote game day in Chapel Hill.
Yeah, so it was actually a much better turnout than we had expected. You know, spring game is just not something that North Carolina typically tries to draw a lot of recruits to, because if we're just being honest, UNC doesn't have this great reputation for having this crazy crowd for its spring games. And I'm not trying to take a slight at the fan base. It's just how it is. If you've been to a spring game in North Carolina, you know, if you've seen some of the other spring games on TV, most of them are very similar to North Carolina's, if not worse. But there are some crazy fan bases out there that, I mean, isn't there? There are a couple. They actually charge for their spring game because they get so many people that come to it. So it's not something that you would want to, you know, always showcase to recruits. But if they want to come, great, let's bring them in. Especially, you know, I think, you know, in particular, I don't know how deep you want to get into this, but like a Malik Clark was pretty significant because initially he had planned to go to South Carolina's spring game, which is held the same day. So if you kind of dig deep into this, he has three official visits scheduled, one with North Carolina, one with South Carolina, and NC State. A lot of people viewed this a North Carolina-South Carolina battle unless somebody else jumps in. There's schools like Georgia, which he's planning on visiting soon. Tennessee and Clemson have flirted with him a little bit, but haven't offered. But you know, he's actually had a pretty good spring at a couple. Well, at least one of the camps he attended, and I think he also had some good. Was it track or am I confusing with someone else? But regardless, you know, there's a little bit of a buzz around him, at least from the very least from the one camp that he attended. So ultimately it's come down to North Carolina, South Carolina. I got a little down the rabbit hole a little bit there, but, and you know, in choosing North Carolina and you look at it, if this was, you know, clearly is much more convenient for him to go to South Carolina, you know, so there was a little bit extra effort, a little extra planning and coordinating involved with him changing that plan. And I think it's a very good sign for North Carolina. I will caution, and I mentioned this in the Weekly Scoop. The Weekly Scoop this week broke down all of this. You know, last week, the Weekly Scoop kind of did like a reset of just, you know, the state of recruiting, where we're at, position by position, what positions are left, who are the main targets, what's kind of the updates at those positions. You know, this past weekend, as we kind of hinted at, has changed so much of the information that was in that scoop because of all the developments over the weekend. And so we kind of just did like an update sort of thing, and it touches on all this. But to get back to what I was saying, is this is still going to be a battle. Let's not say he's going to end up in North Carolina. You know, do I think it looks really good for North Carolina now? Yes. But, you know, he's a South Carolina kid, you know, and, you know, South Carolina has been a bit of a bugaboo for North Carolina on the recruiting trail. It doesn't win every battle against North Carolina. It's been a pretty competitive recruiting battle through the years. But with that, you know, South Carolina wins some of those battles, and this is on its home turf.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is what we've always talked about, and we talk about it a lot, is you get people on campus at North Carolina.
Yeah.
It's different. And, you know, I'd be interested to see over the years the recruiting wins percentage versus when people come versus when, you know, they come multiple times or maybe just stop through. But, yeah, Saturday was a great day. I see Brad in the chat. They were up there tailgating. So just a cool atmosphere, Don. From your take, you said it was a better weekend than you expected or than they expected, and you mentioned Clark. What else sort of made that day successful day, or you know, I guess, is it commits? Is it the news that we had all these guys coming out, even though they weren't necessarily there? Just what makes a successful weekend for North Carolina recruiting?
So before I answer your question, there's two top fives in there, and I know you started them. Which one do you like better? Do you want to go with John Bowman's? And shout out to producer John, who was a big help this past weekend, helping me out in particular. I wasn't able to be there because we're still on baby watch, so I didn't want to be in Keenan Stadium and have to run 100 miles to my car that's parked and then try to get home and all that. But so you want to go with John's?
No, I mean, it's easy for me. You know,
would you have a top five?
Top five dog breeds? Yeah. I mean, I'm going to say lab first out of the gate and probably drop
down. Well,
don't
give it away now, but I mean, do you have five?
We can do that, or we can do Preston's. We'll do dog breeds. Let's do dog breeds.
Yeah, we'll save Preston's for next time.
All right. Dog breeds. So, folks in the chat, top five dog breeds. You know, and I'm a big mutt guy, so I'll be honest, but we can do breeds, and we'll do that later in the show. So, shout out to John B. for being in there. And yeah, you're right. He stepped up on Saturday, got some great highlights, got some great footage, got some work done for you.
John is an absolute all-star. Anytime I've worked with John, he's been unreal. That, you know, I can think back to the Sam Howell announcement, and he came through. And this was before, well, I mean, this was not that long ago, obviously, but we had some technical difficulties that he was able to kind of work out. And there's been plenty of examples. You know, John's helped with the live streaming of from the Man Tower stuff before, and he's helped with we did the Alex Taylor stuff with John. I mean, on and on and on. And some of the big mountains that we've climbed have been because of John. So I want to definitely give a shout out to John. I don't think people realize just how much he helps behind the scenes.
Yeah, and I also want to give a shout out to Jalen Harrell. He did his takes after the spring game as well, and Jalen got some news this past week of a big time step up in a job for him down the future. So yeah, inside Carolina just crushing it. They've Buck and Ben have put together an amazing team that we're happy to be a part of, but there's so many people that just own it and run it and basically just show everybody else up in the business pretty much.
Yeah.
And you know, it's amazing what these folks do, young and old. I include us in the old part, Don. Anyway, yeah. let's sort of, and again, before I forget, if you were in Chapel Hill and you didn't go visit Johnny T-Shirt while you were there, you need to go right now, get to johnnytshirt.com and order some stuff, because if you want to follow Don Callahan and you're one of the close to 100 people in this chat and you're not on the premium boards, don't wait for folks to cop it and post it elsewhere. Get it straight from the horse's mouth or from Don's mouth on the Inside Carolina premium boards, and you get that 10% off at Johnny T-Shirt. It's a great way to support local. It's a great way to get firsthand information and do it now. Let's talk about these recruits, Don. We've had several commitments since you and I.
Answered your question. What made the weekend good? Were you trying to hint at the commitments?
Well, I mean, but they were really – that made for a good weekend, but that didn't make for a good, successful spring game recruiting. So just, yeah, talk about what made this past weekend good for North Carolina. Let's roll these commitments in because we need to mention them.
Yeah, so it was just a constant – it was four commitments in 3 days, which is pretty significant. Oh, also, what is that? Mail to Brad Stone. Is that Brad Stone who from the message board, I'm assuming? So it doesn't have Lonnie Galloway. And I would agree. Lonnie Galloway is North Carolina's ace recruiter. And I never count him out in any recruitment that he's involved in, just because he's a tireless worker. He understands developing relationships. He has recruited at the highest of levels. He was national recruiter of the year at least one time. And he's not one. There's a lot of guys who kind of reach a certain level of recruiting and then kind of fall down, and he's not one of them. You take away North Carolina's wide receiver signees the past few years, and those classes they drop significantly in talent wise. And he gets a lot of really good wide receivers. But anyway,
let me say something about those wide receivers right fast. We talk a lot about, and people a lot of times focus on the guys that don't hit and that don't turn out. And I've seen threads on stuff. The three wide receiver freshmen that North Carolina have right now that have practiced this spring, I'm telling folks, get on the bandwagon with these young men. If they stay healthy, they're going to produce a ton for North Carolina. And that's, to your point, Don, that's Lonnie Galloway's room. And you mentioned the Alex Taylor live stream commitment. We had Ship on those. We've had Vary Green. I mean, these guys are going to be really good one day, and that's Lonnie Galloway doing work as well as the rest of the North Carolina staff. And a lot of people said, oh, they're getting these guys because of the quarterbacks they have. Well, these guys never got to catch balls from those past quarterbacks except on Pro Day, which is pretty amazing that a freshman early enrollee is.
Yeah, how cool is that for Jordan Shipp?
Taking part in probably one of Drake May's biggest days of his lives. But anyway, I digress. But yes, that recruiting has been something, and it continues and will continue in this class as well. But go ahead. I stopped you.
Yeah, so it began with a commitment that we expected if you had been reading my stuff for the past couple of weeks in Austin Alexander committing during a announcement or a ceremony at his high school on Friday. And then Saturday morning, there was a bit of a, somewhat of a surprise. We kind of felt like it was heading this direction, but maybe not this quickly. But Devin Ankrum committed, I think it was around noon on Saturday. Joshua Harris, which I want to go into a little bit more in detail after we kind of finish this stuff up. He's a transfer, former Ole Miss, former NC State player, former in-state high school recruit. Committed on Sunday morning. And then Anthony Crua committed, the linebacker from Georgia, committed Sunday night, which, another situation where he was very, very blunt, said North Carolina was his top school after his return visit to Chapel Hill. And so he didn't have visits scheduled, so it seemed like maybe he could pop without official visits, but clearly North Carolina was in the driver's seat of that one also.
It's interesting. They're all defensive recruits, and of course, North Carolina needs to shore up the defensive side of the ball, especially on the defensive line. you've got Ankrum, you've got Alexander and Nkrua in that linebacker role slash maybe an edge ultimately. But, just a little bit behind the scenes for folks at Inside Carolina, I get calls or texts from Don Callahan that say, heads up, we might need to cut a video. We might need to do this. We might need to do that. And it's interesting to keep up with how these things work. It's like everything happens in threes. And here we are talking about Alexander, Ankrum, and Krua in threes there. And Don, if you had to predict, and this is impossible, but if you had to predict which one of these guys could see action in 2025 on the field, which one of these guys from your perspective is college ready or is close to college ready?
From this past weekend?
Yeah, from this past weekend that committed.
I think if you're just kind of going through just the historical numbers, you would go with Anthony Krua because he's a linebacker. So at the very least, he should get some special teams work. Offensive linemen, meaning Devin Ankrum, they almost always redshirt their freshman year. And then even defensive linemen, Devin Ankrum is a defensive lineman. Defensive lineman, and so is Austin Alexander. They just don't get a whole lot of reps. You know, they're not typically big special teamers, and because they're linemen, they just as freshmen they don't see a lot. But linebackers are a little bit easier to kind of toss out there, and as we've seen through the past couple of seasons, there has been a linebacker or two who have played a lot of special teams.
When you look, and this is something I always ask you, is the level of competition these guys are playing. And that's a big thing that people talk about a lot is, why isn't so-and-so who was ranked so high, why isn't so-and-so playing immediately at Carolina when they get here or back and forth? When you look at the schools, especially Mill Creek for Ankrum, a lot of folks say, why didn't North Carolina recruit North Carolina as much as they used to? And they do, but Georgia, Don, the level of competition in Georgia is usually pretty stout. You can even get guys that aren't ranked super high that have played that really high level of competition and played well.
Yeah, and that area in particular, that greater Atlanta area, and so does Anthony Krua playing at Marietta, which they've been down the last couple of seasons, but I mean, that's a program that has produced a lot of talent and they play against a lot of really good teams. So those two coming from that greater Atlanta area, I mean, at least on the East Coast, maybe Miami, you're not going to find many other areas that are more competitive, have more talent than the greater Atlanta area. I don't know Kentucky that well, although from my understanding, the school that Austin Alexander goes to is not known for producing a lot of kids, but I just don't know Kentucky football all that well, to be honest.
Yeah, whiskey, bourbon, high school football. I don't know what order you put it in, but I mean he's a big time kid. He's got big time measurables already, so it'll be interesting to see. But yes, how many recruits is that so far? One,
ten.
Two, three. That's 10 recruits in the class of 2025. And Don, we're in April, at the end of April. We've talked about a lot that Mack Brown likes to have these classes wrapped by the end of summer, quite frankly. Do you feel like it's tracking that way now? And what do you see over the next couple months as we head towards the summer?
North Carolina signed over 25 in the last class, and I don't think it's going to get anywhere close to that. I mean, we might be looking at a 20-ish, around 20. So let's just say, hypothetically, North Carolina signs 20. We're halfway there, and we still have all of June. So, there's always some sort of situation that doesn't fall the way you had planned. But really, if you look at it, and knowing North Carolina's wants and needs and what they have on the table right now, things are looking really good for North Carolina to hit on all of their needs for this class.
Yeah. So Carolina,
the only exception will be running back.
Yeah. And that'll be an interesting to see how that all shakes out. But North Carolina at 10 current commits in the 2025 class. Of course, Bryce Baker was early. Anthony Crua was the most recent. You can go to the Inside Carolina message board. Check out Don's football recruiting board. It's the last pinned thread on the premium message board. It's the best way to see the most current and the most, I guess, correct information on North Carolina recruiting. Don takes care of that, puts it up there. And you can also check out on the YouTube channels, Don and I break down each individual commitment when they happen, how they got to Carolina, and what they bring to the table. So it's a great resource for you. And YouTube's free, so you can check those out if you're not a member of the premium. See what you're missing if you're not.
Don, yeah, it's important to point out, like, I mean, we're talking about this stuff now, and you can get this stuff on YouTube, but that's after the fact. I mean, yes. If you are a subscriber, you knew North Carolina was on track to land Austin Alexander. You knew North Carolina's situation with Ankrum and with Anthony Crua, and there's others that we have talked about, you know, in the Weekly Scoop yesterday, that we hinted that North Carolina is in a good spot with. So it's more about getting this information before it goes out there free for everybody else.
Yeah, and one thing, and I know we're really selling the premium stuff. One thing I haven't mentioned, and it's not recruiting related, but if you're on the premium board, you get Buck stops here 3 times a week. And I'm going to give flowers to Buck and kiss up a little bit. It's deserved. I don't understand how he puts together such awesome columns 3 times a week.
Yeah.
I can sit on here and we can talk and BS, and it sounds good. Buck puts pen to paper every week 3 times and drops his column. Check out that. Of course, the most recent is today's. All of his thoughts on draft possibilities and what lies ahead for Drake May on Thursday night from the NFL draft. Let me ask you this, Don. How much do kids these days in recruiting talk about the NFL? Is it, you know, it used to be, I want to go somewhere that can get me to the NFL as fast as possible. Still, is that still a big thing?
Yeah, absolutely. That's still a big thing. And I think, you know, even though I know some of the talk is like, well, you know, you can make a lot of money in NIL. Most kids aren't making a lot of money in NIL. You know, it's really just the top tier guys that are making a lot of money in NIL. And maybe you're able to, you know, make a good amount, you know, sort of thing. But like, as far as what you'll make in it doesn't match what you'll make in the NFL. And then ultimately that's the goal. Nobody wants to be, what's that movie? Is it Van Wilder where the guy was in college forever, would never graduate or whatever. Nobody wants to be that. They want to go.
Wait a minute. Are you sure? Cause I would have done that. I would have stayed.
Would you? I don't know. I don't.
I'm in Chapel Hill 3 or 4 times a week. I could 100% still be a student up there.
And this probably stopped maybe like 5 years ago, I would still have nightmares where I would, you know, obviously in my nightmare thinking that I showed up to a class and there was a test I wasn't prepared to take.
Oh yeah, I do that.
Where there was some sort of project that I completely forgot about or whatever it is. Or sometimes I go to class and I have no pants on. I don't know. It's all related to school though.
I did that. I didn't do the pants thing at school, but there were plenty of tests I showed up unprepared for sure. But that wasn't a nightmare. That was like reality for me. But I would go back. If I could go back to college and be a college student right now, I would do it, especially with the knowledge we have now. Good gracious, man.
I don't know. I like adulting.
You like adulting? Let me know about that adulting in a month, in a week or two. We'll see how those adultings go when you're pumping Red Bull to do this show. I'm going to take a second. We're going to let the national guys pay the bills. Again, I mentioned Johnny T-shirt earlier. Support them. They support us. They're great friends of Inside Carolina. National guys will pay the bills. It is the new dish with Don Callahan.
Hello, everyone. It's Michael Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.
All right, Don, we're back. Noon Dish, Johnny T-shirt, congruityhr.com/Tar Heels, another great sponsor of Inside Carolina. I'll talk more about them ahead of our top five. But, Don, you mentioned Joshua Harris a little bit earlier. Jason and I were talking after the spring game, and Jason's biggest thing was North Carolina needs at least one, probably two defensive linemen, interior defensive linemen, to sort of maybe get them over the hump with this unit that they're putting together that Monachino has, that Jeff Collins is working with. Harris commits to Tar Heels. Via NC State, via Ole Miss, now a Tar Heel. Tell us a little bit about how all that went down, Don.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty simple. You know, it's not as crazy complex as a high school recruitment. You know, he had obviously played at NC State in the 2022 season, entered the transfer portal, played the 2023 season with Ole Miss, where he was mostly a reserve. At neither stop did he do a whole lot. You know, he played some games, nothing, his stats really aren't super impressive, but he is still a big body who moves really well and will work hard. And I think, an in-state guy, and it just made a whole lot of sense. You know, he entered the portal. I guess it was that first day you could enter the portal. North Carolina got in touch with him immediately. He visited this past weekend, was at the spring game, and boom, committed on Sunday. It was as simple as that. I don't believe he visited anywhere else. The problem with we get such limited information on these transfer recruitments, mostly because there's not a whole lot to it. Like it very easily could have been like, hey, I want to get back to the state of North Carolina, UNC. I haven't been there yet. And it's actually closer to Roxborough than NC State is. And so he also has a family situation too, that would benefits him to get closer to home. And so it just made a whole lot of sense. You make the visit and then he makes a decision. I mean, pretty cut and dry. There's no flash and all this other stuff. There's no, I guess he did post an edit, but there's no like hat tricks or anything like that. Just, did it that morning and that's it.
So it's interesting. He's one of that class, if my memory serves, correct me if I'm wrong, he's one of that defensive line class of 2019 from state of North Carolina. Kid from Clayton was one of those, a couple more, that ended up going to NC State, and that was there. And I mean no disrespect to NC State. I'm not going to be that guy, but that was their bellwether defensive line class, right?
Clark, who's now at Miami.
Savion Jackson was the local guy.
Yeah, no, I mean, here's the thing. In NC State's defense, and I have actually gone back and looked at North Carolina's classes and just, who hit, who missed, who stayed, all this sort of stuff. I mean, it's basically a coin flip. It really is. And so this is not an NC State thing. This is all these guys that people are getting so crazy about and fans are being all weird about, right now. In 3 years from now, the guys in North Carolina signs, half of them didn't do anything in North Carolina. And that's just historically how it has been. So before you get so crazy about North Carolina not signing this guy or, doing all weird things, making signs and all this, just keep in mind that this guy might not be anything.
Yeah, that's what's crazy about recruiting. I mean, there's so many names that we have that have been message board legends, not just inside Carolina, everywhere, that, we could do a Where Are They Now segment once a week for 10 years.
Yeah.
On guys.
And
Josh
Harris is a great example. And obviously we're hoping that he does some good things for North Carolina, but now you're chopping up on me. Is it me or is it you, internet-wise?
It looks like me. It's probably okay. Me, but hopefully it fixes for everybody to watch.
But this was a kid who has great size, great agility, moved really well, great work ethic, great in the classroom, great in the community, high caliber kid, and it just thus far, it just hasn't worked. And so hopefully it does. And this is one of those things where it's like, okay, what was missed here? I mean, he was a four-star guy. You know, it wasn't like he just had offers from just UNC and NC State. I mean, Georgia was involved. God, I can't remember off the top of my head. He was a national recruit, and it's just how the cookie crumbles with recruiting.
Yeah, and it is, like you said, a coin flip. But if you get as many chances as possible, you know, then enough of those coin flips pay off, and yes, you win football games. So
absolutely. Harris, well, can I ask you a question then before?
Sure, 100%.
So now, you know, he comes in. How are you thinking? What are you feeling about this interior defensive line now? Now that you have, in my opinion, so correct me if I'm wrong, I think you got a solid 4-man rotation.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, I think it ultimately comes down to what Travis Shaw is able to do and how effective he's able to be for Carolina in the fall. You know, it sounds like he's turned somewhat of a corner. He's got some, you know, off-the-field issues that they got to deal with and handle and get those all behind them and move forward. I think Harris, I think when you add a guy like Harris and a talent like Harris, you put the pressure on other guys to step up. And you mentioned the 4-man rotation, and yes, you've got that. But the thing is, the more players you add, the more competition you add, and people are going to have to step up or not. And I think for me, and Jason and I talked about this a lot, is that they have to be good or at least not bad on the interior defensive line, because it starts there. And we talk about line of scrimmage game. So getting a guy like Harris, who clearly can play, you know, he didn't go to Ole Miss because they thought he sucked, you know, and he didn't play at NC State or go to NC State because they thought he sucked. He went there because somebody saw a lot. And I think that, for me, is getting another guy. And if you believe in PFF grades, he grades out better than any of the ones Carolina's had. And so I think that's another piece. I agree with Jason. There needs to be one out there. But, Don, to your point earlier about NIL and all that, I mean, obviously quarterbacks demand a lot of money. Offensive tackles demand a lot of money. But interior defensive linemen are the key to seasons, I think, because if you can't stop that inside zone successfully like that, then you, as a defense, you're going to struggle more than you're successful. And I think Harris is a piece.
Yeah.
And it adds to it's like the soup is good, right? This soup is pretty good, but if I add this piece, it's even better. And if I add another piece, it's even better. And so I think that's where North Carolina is now. And I think, look, Ted Monachino and Jeff Collins and those guys, if one thing, I think, and we'll see, as I say this on April 24th, that defense is going to be different, and it's going to be more exciting, you know, whether it flames out massively or it's super exciting and successful, I guess we'll find out. But I think getting Harris certainly helps there and helps to accomplish what they're trying to accomplish. And Stone in the chat said, how do they respond to new coaching? I think that's huge.
Yeah.
What is the for you – knowing what you know of Harris and his high school recruitment, and you mentioned it earlier, is he one of those guys that's going to pan out?
I thought so, because one of the things, and I've never done like studies on this, you know, someone who actually is Bud Elliott from the Cover 3 podcast, you know, 247 guy, CBS guy, is really big on doing a lot of these like kind of like research projects to see, you know, what missed and all that sort of stuff. I've done a little bit, but he's way, way better on that sort of stuff for me. But one of the things that I feel like is that for a lot of these kids, especially when you talk about linemen, is that they're all big, they're all athletic. And now once they get to college, it's a matter of, are they willing to work? Because they didn't have to work in high school, because most Friday nights, if not every single Friday night you ever played in, you are going up against somebody who's half your size. And so now that you're going to have somebody who's just as strong, just as big, just as quick, what do? Are you willing to work at it? And you look at, and one of the ways you could tell at work ethic is you look at the grades, you look at the other avenues, you know, the other extracurricular things outside of school. that they're doing. And he checked all those boxes, you know, great student. I think he was, I can't remember exactly what it was, but he was in the school band and did all these other things. Great kid, as I mentioned. So yeah, you know, the work ethic, the trying to be better was definitely there for him. Check those boxes. So yeah, and maybe a different scenery kind of helps him.
Yep. And that's, I think I asked Monica, I did ask Monachino, I asked him, you know, his introductory press conference, what makes the difference in an NFL player and his college, in the college players? And when you flip that down, what makes the difference in good high school players and good college players, I think is your point. How much are you willing to work? How much work are you wanting to put in to be good, to get the most out? I think that's what we're seeing with Travis Shaw. I think we'll see that with Harris. We'll see it with Hester. We'll see it with all those guys on the interior, is how much work are you willing to put? It's not, and they all work. Let's get it. Let's don't get it twisted. We would probably not survive these practices. But it's not just that. It's going above and beyond.
Yeah.
And the guys that are really good are the ones that 100% buy in, 100% go all out, and maximize whatever God gives them, talents, yes, and size they have. So,
absolutely. You can't just go to practice and expect to get better.
Yeah, it does not work that way.
To go back to what we were talking about earlier, Eric Miller, and I'm assuming this is all of North Carolina's commits from that. Sam Howell, Tristan Miller, Choffrey Brown, Wisdom Asabaro, Emery Simmons, Wilton Spotsville. Yep. So minus Sam Howell. You know, this was the 2019 class, so it was a transition class. So it was a little bit of, you know, Larry Fedora was a lame duck coach, and, you know, Mac Brown comes in, and this was the first year of the transfer portal. So there's a little, the early signing period was definitely there. So it was a little bit of patchwork having to put this class together. So it's not a great representation, but, you know, what is his name? One, two, three, four, five, six guys. Am I counting that right? So one of six turned out to be, you know, I mean, none of those guys, I mean, Choffrey has flashed some, Emery has flashed some, but nothing like, I don't know if either one of those guys ever started a game at North Carolina.
Yeah. I mean, it's just crazy. And that's what the work that goes into it, and then what they accomplish on campus. And that's where coaching comes in, quite frankly, as well. Cause, you know, I think coaching and the type of coaching people get is huge. But ultimately it comes down to the guy and the kid wanting to put in the work. Anything left on the recruiting aspect of it? We're 45 minutes in. We usually turn it to the top five at this point, but any, just sort of update folks.
Yeah. So I think we'll have some quiet time, I think, which is good for me considering what's about to happen. And then June, really that first week and that May 31st weekend is when the official visits start. June 7th will be North Carolina's big official visit weekend. But for the most part, you know, and actually North Carolina's hosting official visitor this weekend. But, you know, for the most part, June is going to be the big busy weekend. There will be some I'm just reading some of the chat stuff.
Don't get distracted. Stay on point.
There will be high school practices, spring practices in North Carolina, which is pretty big. I look forward to going out to some of those. I don't know how many I'm going to make it to, but I'm going to try to make some of them. And, you know, there's still some showcase camp stuff. Under Armour camps coming to Charlotte in the middle of the month, I believe. So, so there's still some stuff, just nothing major. I don't expect a lot of commitments, maybe none, but June and July will be crazy with the visits, some commits, and then July will be kind of wrapping it up with those commitments that kind of were, I guess, decided in June.
So here's what folks can do in the chat, especially some of you guys that are regular. Don needs one of those papoose things or whatever you call them that either strap a baby to your chest or to your back because we need him out on the trail, you know, catching up with those interviews.
I plan on bringing him wherever I'm allowed to. Now, the person I need to clear it with is my wife. So she might not think taking him to a football practice is a good idea.
Well, she might say, I'm going to the spa that you bought her, spa trip you bought her. You take the baby and y'all go talk to some football recruits and teach little Don how to hold a microphone or a camera.
Do you want a little update?
You share as much as
I don't
you
know if
share,
I told
bro.
You this.
You did not.
So we are scheduled to induce on Friday.
You did mention that.
Okay. So we're gonna head to the hospital Thursday. So wish us luck. Hopefully we get done Friday, get up out of there.
I'm not going to reveal that. You can tell me that later. But yeah, the legend, the second legend in the Callahan family of Don's will be born on Friday, it sounds like, at the latest.
I was told by somebody who has some power that I didn't have to worry about any commitments this weekend.
I was going to say, we expect you to be back in action on Saturday. I need you recording videos and covering. I need a weekly scoop on
Saturday.
If we
need to record from the hospital room, I'll do that. I'm going to bring my laptop.
That would be epic. I actually did that. I did a story with Jason Staples. Mm-hmm. It's been years ago. He was at the hospital, and we did it, and he was, like, in one of the nurses' stations recording, and it was And I think somebody listening to it was like, why is there so much noise in the background? This is ridiculous. This is not professional. I was like, the dude is literally doing this work from the hospital so we can bring content to you. So, yeah. Little scoops, as Stone says. Don, top five. Let's get out of here. Okay. I think it's awesome, too, by the way. I think you're old and you're too old to have a baby. And there's going to be a lot of people that think
you're
great.
Good thing my wife is the one having the baby.
Yeah, you're going to be...
No one wants to see me on that hospital bed.
People are going to say...
The red spread.
People are going to be saying, your grandson is beautiful when you walk around with him, but it'll be great anyway. You could say...
Hey, I already got one of those walking strollers, those running strollers. And so I was like, hey, when can I take him out? And she's like, well, we're going to have to wait. And I'm like...
I don't think you can, like, carry them out the first week.
Yeah, maybe the second week then.
Let's do top five. We talked about it. This is top five sponsored by Congruity, ConvertiHR.com. Your small to business size of business needs. My nose has stopped up again. It's allergy season. Maybe we should get some Claritin or Zyrtec sponsorship the way I've been rolling. But Congruity is our number one A sponsor along with Johnny T-shirt. Go to congruityhr.com/Tar Heels. Get your small to mid-sized business assessment. Let them decide or see what they can do to help your small business. They can grow theirs into a national business. They certainly can grow yours, Darren and Matt, with the technology, with the online support, everything that they'll handle while you handle growing your business. They'll handle your people and HR support, congruity.hr.com. Top five dog breeds. John Bowman suggested it in honor of my buddy. I guess it's technically in memory of my buddy Ram. We'll go Preston. I'm not going to show that one up there.
No, come on. Show Preston. his first four were clean. I think he had the first one.
I do not want to get a hate text. Preston, we'll go with Golden Retriever. Mutt, and one to remain off the list. Sorry, Preston, if you want to submit.
Ross's girlfriend.
A better one. Eric Miller, Rescue Mutt, Lab, Golden, Irish Setter, Border Collie. I remember one of my friends used to always have Irish Setters. Beautiful dog. Border Collie, they bark too much, and they're too hectic for me, but they are pretty cool dogs. And, of course, Rescues. I'm a champion of Rescues. But you can't beat a Lab and a Golden. Brandon Rushing, Retriever, Lab, a Dachshund. Is that the hot dog Dachshund? I don't think that's how you spell it. Or maybe it's something I'm not aware of. Australian Shepherd and a Bernese Mountain Dog. I actually was at the vet yesterday. Somebody was bringing out one of those. Those things are tremendous. Sean Crawley, one of our regulars. I don't know dogs much, but love all dogs. And appreciate the words there, buddy. And let's see. I have to throw a couple of other things. It's not dog related, but we talked about the dreams you have about college. And this is hilarious. I did this like at least twice a semester, showing up for a final exam after not going to class all year long. And then Preston's got another good one. Forgot you signed up for a class and got a zero because you never went. I've certainly been there too.
Have you really?
Technically not a zero. Let's just say I'm glad I'm not in the business of handling economics for folks.
Okay.
It was not
That's
pretty.
Funny.
But anyway, what are your top five? Top five dogs for me are going to be.
Go ahead.
I'll do mine. I never go first.
You go first.
I'll do rescues. We got ours from a place called Rough Creek Ranch down here in Johnston County. I don't know if it still exists, but it was a lab rescue. And like I said, he wasn't 100%, but he was as beautiful a dog. I love Goldens. They got too much hair, but Golden Retrievers are awesome. I like a Blue Heeler. I think every farm person, which I've always wanted to be, needs a Blue Heeler, but I've never had one because I don't have a farm. Maybe one day. And somebody mentioned...
You ever come to a point where you're like, maybe one day, and then you realize how old you are, and you're like, that's never going to happen?
I'm going to be on my deathbed going, one day I'm going to do that. And then people are like, yeah, just go to sleep. A lot of want-tos, maybe one day. I'm going to get that tattooed on my arm, maybe one day. So labs, retrievers. I also love Rhodesian Ridgebacks. I think Ram probably had some of that in him. Dachshunds. Blakely, former champ or former MVP, says no beagles. No, the only beagle I ever liked was Snoopy. They are cool dogs, but I got bit by one when I was little, so I'm not a huge fan. And then I'll let you do yours while I'm trying to think of my fifth.
So, Steven, if you didn't hear earlier, you were chat MVP from 2 weeks ago. So congratulations. I'm glad you finally made it. Better late than never, I guess. I am not like a super dog person. I did grow up with a dog, but I don't like, you know, I had to look up Blue Heeler and get a photo to kind of put the picture in my head. But so my number one is Mutt. I'm like you, the dog that I grew up with. It was actually a pit bull chow mix. The dog loved to freaking run. You open the door, the dog was gone. And so that ended up being her downfall. Eventually she got hit by a car. And the other thing was you never wanted to feed her cheese because all night long she'd be breaking wind and clearing rooms. The two dogs that we had growing up were mutts. So that's what I'm used to. We definitely didn't have the money to be buying purebred anything. And all right. So outside of that, I just threw hot dog, you know, the Dachshund. You know, there's one on my walk that always comes out and barks at me all the time, like it's going to do something behind the fence, but doesn't. I wish I knew there was one other dog that's kind of my friend on my walk who just kind of comes up to me. I don't know what type of dog it is. I put down a pug because they are so ugly that they're cute. I would never want one because they poop all the time. And I have Collie, because that's what Lassie is, right?
Yes. Okay. Lassie's a Collie.
I put down Collie and I put down Lab. I know there's like a gazillion types of Labs, but
yeah. I've always liked Bulldogs too. Regular Bulldogs, but they can't breathe and they're, you know, they have issues and all there. I got enough can't breathing in the house, but
my wife almost, well, I was never on board and we never did it, but my, Brandon saying Don will have to learn about Bluey on Disney Plus. Okay. With a new kid. Yes, absolutely. Although, well, I was a Nickelodeon kid growing up. Wasn't a big Disney guy.
Wow.
So,
I always knew you were weird.
I forget where I was going with all that before I got sidetracked. Anyway, I'll just leave it go.
Yeah, I love walking around the neighborhood and you see the different dogs, and there's a little Dachshund up here on the corner, and he comes out madder than hell, and I'm like,
yes,
you come on. I'm
yes,
on.
They come out, they're so, they think they're so big and tough.
Yeah, I'm I've like, only ever been bitten by little dogs too. That's
yeah,
that's the thing. It's always the little ones that'll get you. But anyway,
yeah, this dog comes running out, and he is going to whoop my ass.
He's
you know, and I'm just like, oh, get away. And there's this one other dog who just kind of runs up, and then there's this big, I guess it's a German Shepherd, should have put down, but he actually passed away. But if I was a certain distance away from the fence, or if she was a certain, or he, I don't know, was a certain distance from the fence, he would just lay there, wouldn't do anything. But if he's close to the fence, he would come up and start barking. And like sometimes, because I used to walk in the mornings, would scare the absolute crap out of me. So I would always be aware when I'm approaching to see where he was at, because if he was far enough away, he'd be like, ah, forget it. You know, and he would just lay there. But yeah.
It's a, oh, and I, my fifth Belgian, I had a Belgian. So I've had a, growing up, I had a Cocker Spaniel. We had a lab. I had a Belgian, another lab. And then we had Ram, and Ram was the only pet that my children have ever had. So we've been heavy on the black labs, but a Belgian, Belgian
Eric, Eric has a story. We want to, maybe we'll go out on this story.
Well, yeah, that's, yeah, they, indoor dogs, especially those, you got to keep the food consistent. but anyway, we're really going down the rabbit hole. I appreciate all the kind words on our young buddy. Maybe I'll post a picture of him. And share with you guys, since y'all have shared with me and people hitting me up, texting me and sending me DMs. It's pretty cool. But Don, I know this might be the last time I talk to you for the foreseeable future, but certainly best wishes to you. And
well,
your
I'm not going
life.
Anywhere.
Well, yeah, but I'm not going to bother you.
There's no bother.
I might come to the hospital and and see if it's true.
Right. I probably should. My wife is the opposite of me. So she doesn't like any sort of attention whatsoever. So, or at least that sort of attention. So, you know, but
we're going to give you, we're going to order some IC swag so that baby can have something besides that ugly Philadelphia stuff.
We already have a Bryce Harper shirt for him.
Oh my Atlanta.
Speaking of which, Bryce Harper is on paternity leave at the moment.
Paternity leave. You're not going on paternity leave, buddy. You're going to be here.
I could. It was discussed. I just, you know, I'm just not wired that way. I like normalcy, you know, and yeah, you know, I mean, I'm just going to have to catch up on whatever I miss. So might as well not have to worry about catching up.
Yeah. We'll see how that goes. Normalcy. That's Don Callahan.
Well, it's not going to be normal. There's going to be adjustment, but yeah, I get what you're saying.
Normal in another lifetime. Don Callahan, I'm Tommy Ashley. This has been The New Dish, sponsored by Johnny T-Shirt and Congruity. Shout out to the people that have always joined us. Shout out if you're watching it later. Shout out to you guys for taking it in. Check out Inside Carolina, InsideCarolina.com, and all our sponsors as well. It's been a fun show. Always is. Till the next time.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
What's up, y'all? This is four-time NBA champ Andre Iguodala.
Yo, and this is his best friend, the Ohio State legend, Evan Marcel Turner I.
Every Wednesday, we drop a new episode on our show, Point Four.
We're talking basketball, business, and all the culture in between.
From locker room stories to some basketball analysis from those who've been in the game.
Now, it is a dude averaging 29 and 11. God, what did it take to be an all-star?
A win. Subscribe to Point Forward the podcast so you don't miss a thing.